Last time we started discussing in greater detail the kinds of kalim that are chayiv in tefilas kalim and those which are not. We talked about other types of metal, aside from the six metals that are mentioned in Parashas Matos. We talked about coated or glazed kalim, and we talked about disposable kalim. Another common shaila of a kli that the poskim have a debate as to whether it's chayiv in tefilah or not is electric kalim, like a George Foreman grill or an urn. Pretty common kalim that we all use. The question is, are these electrical kalim chayiv in tefilah? At first glance, you'd imagine that they should be chayiv in tefilah. They should be called klei seuda. We're going to have to describe a little bit later in the shiur what klei seuda means, but one would imagine that an urn, that a George Foreman grill, should qualify as klei seuda. They touch the meichel, they touch the mashke, they touch the food and the drink, so why shouldn't they be called klei seuda? So the problem is, of course, that the electrical kalim say on them that we're not supposed to immerse them in water. They're not supposed to come into contact with water. So it's not so much the shaila as to whether they're chayiv in tefillah or not, but what are they supposed to? But what are we supposed to do if they are chayiv in tefillah? Because we can't be tovel them at first glance. So that's the big problem. So the Sefer Tevilas Kalim in Perek Yud Aleph Ha'ora Mem Vav to Mem Zayin, which I photocopied for you in the packet, in packet two. So he quotes a whole discussion in the postcard as to what to do with these electrical kalim. It all starts with a Chelkas Yaakov. Chelkas Yaakov is playing a very important role in many of these discussions. We talked about him, we mentioned him in the context of disposable kalim. So he's the Mara D'Shmaitza, he's the one who wanted to be Matir. He wanted to say electrical kalim don't require tefillah whatsoever. How so? The Chelkas Yaakov suggested that, first of all, tevilas kalim perhaps should be linked to Hilchas Kabbalas Tuma. We keep on coming back to the same idea. If the Shem Kli that's needed to require a person to be Tovel the Kli when he buys it from a non-Jew is connected to the Shem Kli regarding Kabbalas Tuma, and something which doesn't have a Shem Kli regarding Kabbalas Tuma will not have a Shem Kli regarding Tevilas Kalim either and will not be Chayav in Tevilah. As the Yad Ephraim suggested in the name of the Shev Yaakov, as we discussed at great length yesterday, and one of the kalim that doesn't have a shem kli, one of the items that doesn't have a shem kli regarding Kabbalas Tum is something which is mechubel karka, something which is attached to the ground. If it is used when it's attached to the ground, even if it doesn't have to be attached to the ground, but when you use the kli, it's attached to the ground. So the Chelkas Yaakov says, if that's the case, so then electrical kalim perhaps should be defined as kalim that are mechubel karka, because the only way that you could use electrical kalim is when you plug them into the socket. When it's plugged into the socket, it's like it's attached to the ground, it's attached to the wall. So he put two and two together. He makes two very important assumptions. He says, first of all, the Shem Kli for Tefilas Kalim should be dependent on the Shem Kli for Kabbalas Tuma. But then he says, if that's the case, then we can suggest electrical Kalim should be viewed as Kalim which don't have a Shem Kli regarding Kabbalas Tuma. They won't be Mekabel Tuma because their usage is only when they're mechubel karka, and a kli that's mechubel karka bishas hatashmish is not mekabel tuma, so therefore it shouldn't be chayav in tefilas kalim either. That's the yisod that the Chelkas Yaakov suggests. Quite a fascinating chiddush. So according to him, we don't have a problem at all. You don't have to be tovel your George Foreman grill and your urn. The whole problem never began. Halavai we should paskin like the Chelkas Yaakov. The problem is the sefer tefilas kalim in the footnote there points out that many poskim disagree with the Chelkas Yaakov. For one of two reasons. They either disagree with his first assumption or his second assumption. He quotes there from Dayan Weiss in the Sefer Minchas Yitzchak. He disagreed with the Chelkas Yaakov, with the Chelkas Yaakov's first assumption, that there's a relationship between the Shem Kli regarding Kabbalas Tuma and the Shem Kli regarding Tevilas Kalim. He says, who claims there's such a relationship? If you recall, Dayan Weiss was also makel by disposable Kalim, but not for the reason that the Chelkas Yaakov suggested. Not because disposable kalim don't have a shame kli regarding Kabbalas Tuma, even though the Rambam Taka says that, but who says there's a relationship between the shame kli le'inyan Kabbalas Tuma and the shame kli le'inyan Tefilas Kalim? Dayan Weiss said the reason why disposable kalim are parted from Tefilas Kalim is because he claimed that they don't have a shame kli bichlal, not just regarding Kabbalas Tuma, they're just not choshev at all. So they don't have a shame kli bichlal. Bein le'inyan netilas yadayim, bein le'inyan kiddush, bein le'inyan kabbalas tuma. But it's not something special to kabbalas tuma. So they don't have a shem kli b'chlal, so me'mele, they won't have a shem kli le'inyan tefilas kalim either. So it's the same Dayan Weiss who says that how can the Chelkas Yaakov say electrical kalim and achayv and tefila because they're mechubel karka, they don't have a shem kli regarding kabbalas tuma, What does one have to do with the other? Just because they don't have a shem kli regarding Kabbalah Stoma doesn't mean that they won't have a shem kli regarding Tevilas Kelim. So this is the first way that you can disagree with the Chalkas Yaakov. As we pointed out, not everyone disagrees with that assumption. Many claim that there is a relationship between the shem kli regarding Kabbalah Stoma and the shem kli regarding Tevilas Kelim. L'mashal, the Shev Yaakov, right? The Yad Ephraim in his Agos and the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Shev Yaakov, and many seem to take that Shev Yaakov very seriously. So the Shev Yaakov certainly does compare the two. So it could be that there really is a comparison. Dayan Weiss apparently thought that there wasn't a comparison. So this was the first problem with the Chalkas Yaakov. But the most serious problem that the Sefer Tevilas Kelim points out is, can you really claim electrical kelim or kelim that tashmisham is b'mechubel karka? What, this is a kli that's used when it's mechubel karka? The fact that you attach the socket to the outlet, that makes it mechubel karka? Come on. It's so easy to disconnect it from the outlet. Maybe the only time you call something mechubel karka is if it's mamish mechubel karka. He quotes there that Rav Vosner in the Shevet Halevi, he says, look, even a kli that's tolush ulabasov chibur, let's say it's tolush, and they mamish connected it to the ground. There's a whole discussion in Poskim, is that viewed as mechubel karka? And that's really connected to the ground. So you're going to tell me that an electrical kli that's not really connected to the ground, it's just the socket's put into the outlet, the plug, is put into the outlet, the plug is put into the outlet, that calls it mechubel karka? You need a chibur chazak in order to be called a real chibur. So the second assumption of Chagas Yaakov seems to be more difficult than the first one. But basically, I think most posts can disagree with the Chagas Yaakov. Just to say, Stam, that electrical kelim don't require tevila, very difficult to believe that you can rely on this. So what do we do? If we're not going to rely on the Chagas Yaakov, what can we do? So the Sefer Tevilas Kelim in Ha'ora Nun Aleph Star, he quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that maybe you should give the kli to a Jewish electrician and have him take it apart. Meaning if you mevatel it mishem kli, and then the Jewish electrician is gonna remake it. He's gonna reattach all the wires and whatever. So that's like a klisha gomro Yisrael. If Yisrael made the klisha, then there's no chiv of tilas kelim. Now this is a very tricky suggestion because the electrician has to disconnect it. He has to take it apart in a way that the non craftsman will not be able to put it together. Someone who's not an uman won't be able to put it together. He can't just, you know, unscrew a screw. That's not going to do the job. He has to, like, somehow cut the wires. And to have bring every urn to a Jewish electrician, it seems like a suggestion. Maybe in Eretz Yisrael it's a possibility. But, I don't know in America if that's a suggestion that's so easy to do. There aren't that many electricians that are Jewish who would have the time to do this. So I'm not sure if it's really going to work practically. Rabbi Willig thought, and I think this is what most poskim claim, even though the Teag says that you shouldn't immerse the urn, most poskim assume that you can immerse the urn. What they mean is don't immerse the urn and then use it when it's wet. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. You can have a fire, you can electrocute yourself, chas v'shalom. Don't use it when it's wet, but if you immerse the urn and then you wait a week, wait 2 weeks. The urn is an open area. The wires are not constricted. The urn, the reason why it's difficult to be tovel the urn is because it's very easy for the water to get in, but just as easily as it is for the water to get in, it could get out, it could dry up. So as long as you tovel the urn and you wait a certain amount of time before you use the urn, it gets totally dry. Many people have done this. Many people have followed the advice of these poskim, and they've been tovel their urns. They've been tovel other electrical equipment that they've had. I've been tovel many urns. I've been tovel a George Foreman grill, which we used to have before we gave it away to someone else. We should get another one. I don't know if they have it anymore. But I've been tovel many electrical kelim before, and you just have to wait. You wait a week or two, and it doesn't really do anything to the kli. Recently, I heard that some have questioned this minig, I don't know if I call it a minig, but this custom. Some have questioned, first of all, does it really work bizman hazeh? Apparently the electrical kelim are more complicated. They have electronics in them, and apparently you can really damage the kli. You can break the kli if you touch it to water. So I don't know what to tell you. I don't think there's any electronics in an urn. I think people are still being tovel urns, but that's the first ha'ara that people make. And the other ha'ara is some mumchim have said that even if you'll be able to use the urn, you'll be able to use the electrical kli initially after you wait the 2 weeks or so, by being tovel that electrical kli, you will be damaging the wires somewhat. So you might not necessarily see the effect of your action immediately, but over time, it could be that it'll compromise, it'll somehow damage the wires in some way, that ultimately something might happen to the urn in the future. And this taka may have happened to me, I'm not even sure, but the last urn we had melted on us. A couple of months ago, it melted on us, we had a problem. Now, Baruch Hashem, we have a circuit breaker in the home, so it wasn't dangerous, but the place where the plug attaches to the urn, mamish, melted up. So I brought it back to the store, I was very upset, but thinking about it later, I said to myself, maybe it's because we were tovel the urn. Now, we were tovel it a year and a half before. The urn was doing just fine, and we kept it plugged in the whole week, and on Shabbos, we weren't just using it for Shabbos. We kept it plugged in the whole week. It was doing a great job, so I'm not really sure if that was due to the fact that we were tovel it, or was due to the fact that it was somehow faulty. I mean, urns are supposed to last a little bit more than a year and a half, I would imagine. I would hope. So I wasn't 100% sure whether that was a good proof that maybe it's better not to be tovel urns. I don't know. Rabbi Schechter apparently claims, someone told me, Rabbi Schechter claims that electrical kalim don't require tefillah because if you can't be tovel them, then there's no mitzvah of tefillah. The mitzvah of tefillah is that if you can be tovel the kli, there's a chiyuv to be tovel the kli. But if it's impossible to be tovel the kli, like in this case, you'll be tovel the kli, you might ruin the kli. So who said the whole mitzvah applies in that context? Maybe the mitzvah only applies to a kli that you can be tovel. But if you can't be tovel it, maybe the mitzvah shouldn't apply at all. So if you want to be makel for Rebbe Shechter's Svara, so that's sort of similar to the Chalkas Yaakov. It's like the Chalkas Yaakov for a different reason. I think most poskim would assume that maybe you should try to be tovel the urn. I think Rebbe Sobolovsky suggested once that maybe what you should do is you should be makne to a goy. Maybe be makne to a goy. He's makne his urns or his other electrical kalim to his maid, and then he acquires it. He acquires it matana from the maid. This is a halach in Shulchan Aruch at the end of Siman Kuf Chaf. The Shulchan Aruch in Sif Tes Zayin says that what happens if it's Erev Shabbos, if it's Erev Yom Tov, and you didn't have time to be tovel kalim, what should you do? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Im shachav lo hippil kli me Erev Shabbos me Erev Yom Tov, yidnenu le ovik ochav matara, v'yachakach yishalenu mimenu umutu lishtabish bo. Shulchan Aruch says, give it to the guy with matana, give it to the guy of matana, and then borrow it from the guy. I'm sorry, I may not have said this properly. Be makne to the guy of matana, but then borrow it from the guy. Don't get it back by matana from the guy. Borrow it back from the guy. Because we're going to see later, Mitzvah Hashem next week, that the only time that a kli is chayav in tefillah is if you acquire the kli from the guy. If you buy it from the guy, if you get it matana from the guy, but if you borrow it from the guy, it's really the guy's kli. It's the non-Jew's kli. So if it's still his kli, so then you're not going to be chayav in tefillah's kalim. That's what the Shulchan Aruch suggests for that strange circumstance. So Rabbi Sobolovsky suggested in this case as well, there's no solution to the problem if you're not going to be makel for Rabbi Shechter's Svara, and you don't want to be tovel the urn because you're afraid it's going to damage the urn, so what you should do is be makne to the guy b'matana, and then borrow it from the guy. You borrow it from the guy, then there's no chiyuv tefillas kalim. Shas adcha kidiyeved dami, even though this obviously is not recommended unless it's an extenuating circumstance, like that case that you weren't tovel the kli and it's Erev Shabbos and you need the kli. So in this case, you could also say, so maybe kidiyevadami, maybe it's mutataka to do this. What's difficult, though, is that the Taz there on the Shulchan Aruch says that not only are we only going to be mekel b'diyeved le'eis tzorech, but the fact is we're only going to be mekel l'shoah. The Taz says you're going to have to be tovel the kli after Shabbos. You can't just borrow the kli from the guy and say, okay, once it's borrowed from the guy, he's my friend, and he'll let me borrow it forever. There's no chiyuv tefillas kalim. No. B'shas adchak, you can be makne to the guy and borrow it back from him, but that's only l'shoah, that's only a temporary fix. It's not a long-term fix. So here we want to say that since you can't be tovel electrical kalim, there's a chashash, there's a concern that you'll damage the kli, so what, you should be makne to the guy, give it to the guy, and borrow it from him, and leave it that way, lo'olam void. That's not what the Shulchan Aruch is saying. That's not how the poskim understand the Shulchan Aruch. So I mean, I don't know. I guess you could say that, well, the reason why the Taz says that is because you have an out. The out is that after Shabbos, you can bring it to the mikvah. Electrical kalim don't present you with the out. Because what are you supposed to do? You have the same problem that you had before you gave it to the guy as after you gave it, as afterwards. So maybe the same circumstance, maybe all the Taz is saying is that if the Shas Adchak is over, meaning if after Shabbos you can be tovel the kli, so maybe you have a chiyuv to be tovel the kli, maybe you could say over here, electrical kalim, Shas Adchak forever. So maybe that's why you can give it to the guy and then borrow it from the guy. So these are the different options that are suggested. Either to give it to a Jewish electrician and have him take it apart and then put it back together again, or Rabbi Schachter, who says that there's no problem at all because if you can't do it, so then there's no mitzvah, which is similar to the Chalkas Yaakov, but V'lav Mitameh. Of course, the Chalkas Yaakov said there's no issue at all because it doesn't have a shame clearly in Kabbalah's Tumah, since it's Mechubal Karka, it's only used when it's Mechubal Karka. Rabbi Sobolovsky suggested maybe you could be makne to a guy and borrow it back from him, and then there won't be any Chiyav Tilas Kalim, and since there really is no other solution to the problem, maybe you could leave it that way La'olam Void. Okay, these are the different options. I think a lot of postim still recommend that you should be tovel urns. I just recommended to someone to do that recently. I was thinking about this shaila a lot recently, so I discussed it with a chaver of mine, and he agreed with me that maybe he should be able. Maybe the person should still be tovel the urn. He's not so concerned. Yes, people are raising concerns, but as long as we see that the tzibur is still being tovel urns, and by and large we don't see that there's really much of a problem, maybe Rov postim would say that you still should be tovel the urn. Again, you have to wait a long enough period of time that it can completely dry. But certainly if you can be told with something in the summer and leave it outside or leave it in a warm environment for a week or two, I don't think you really should have a problem. Okay.
Question?
Yes.
I didn't see the tiles inside, but doesn't the Ramah allow you to do this, giving it to the goy, and he allows it even on a full?
The Ramah allows it, but Makom She'en Lo Mikveh.
So it's like...
But the Makom Shein Lo Mikveh, you're saying the Ramah is assuming you'll never have a mikveh.
Yeah.
Is that really true? Or is the Ramah assuming that you don't have a mikveh now, so therefore you can give it to the guy? But when you get the mikveh, of course you're going to do tefillas kavanah. You're going to live in this area, and you're not going to move from this area, you're never going to leave this area forever, and you're never going to have a mikveh there. Okay, it's certainly a possibility. If a person is married, that might be a very significant issue for him. So I would imagine most people would not want to live in such an area. I mean, his wife is not going to be able to go to the mikveh ever. So right? So if you're gonna live in a circumstance where you're gonna need a mikveh for Hilchas Nida, so eventually you'll have a mikveh for Tefillas Kalim as well. I thought the Ramah, I gotta look at the Beis Yosef again that the Ramah is quoting. I thought the Ramah was saying if you don't have a mikveh where you are, and let's say you're not gonna have a mikveh in the near foreseeable future, but you'll have it sometime. So for the brief period of time that you don't have the mikveh, you can use this trick of the Shulchan Aruch. I don't know, I have to look at the Beis Yosef to see exactly what he was saying. Okay, let's go on to the next sugya, and that is Klei Seuda. We have to define, once we determine the general categories of Kelim that are Chayiv and Tefillah, so then we have to figure out, okay, what kind of specifically is Chayiv and Tefillah? And that's Klei Seuda. That's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Ayin Hei Amud Beis. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Afilu Kelim Chadoshim B'mashma. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Bar Avua that not only are kelim yishonim that you acquire from a goy chayv and tefilas kelim, but even kelim chadoshim as well, even new kelim. Why? Because yishonim v'libnam, if you do libun, you put the kli back into the fire, you put a blowtorch to the kli, or you put the kli on the fire to be masha the kli. It's kechadashim damu. You've taken out the bliya completely. You've burnt the bliya up. It's like a brand new kli. And nevertheless, it requires tefillah. So therefore, that teaches us that even if you acquire kelim chadashim from a non-shu, you'll be chayiv in tefillah. Maskifla, Rav Sheshe, sihochi afilu zuzu desar bolanami. Rav Sheshe says, if you're going to tell me that even kelim chadashim require tefillah, what does that mean, afilu kelim chadashim? Says Rashi, you see that even a kli that doesn't have a bliya in it, doesn't have any absorption in it, still requires tevila. So then afilu zuzu desar b'lanami. You should have to be matbil even a scissors, even though the scissors. Well, what's a scissors? It's not pots and pans. It's not similar to the psukim and parshas matos where they brought back pots and pans from Midian. But you're telling me that even kelim chadashim require tevila. So then zuzu desar b'lanami. Amalei klei suda amur b'parsha. Klei Suda Amor Beparsha. Parshas Matas is talking about Klei Suda, so that's the only thing that's Chayav in Tevilah. That's the only type of Kli that's going to be Chayav in Tevilah. But Zuza de Sarbala is not going to be Chayav in Tevilah, not because it's a Kli Chadash, Kelim Chadash Ma Chayav in Tevilah, but because it's not Klei Suda. What does that mean, Klei Suda Amor Beparsha? How did the Gemara know that Klei Suda Amor Beparsha? So Rashi says, the Haksiv called Avra Sheyava Baish. There's Rashi says the pasuk in Parashas Matos tells us kol davar sheyaveh ba'esh tavir ba'esh v'taher. The taher teaches us the principle of tefilas kelim. So from that you see that what is chayav in tefilas kelim? Kol davar sheyaveh ba'esh, something which is ba'esh. What is ba'esh? Says Rashi, it's not normal for kelim to be ba'esh unless they're kelim for tzarchei suda, unless they're used for the needs of a suda. So that tells us that klei suda amur b'parsha, only klei suda are going to be chayav in tefilas kelim. The Prichodosh in Sivkotn Aleph, the first Sivkotn in Siman Kuf Chav, is very troubled with this Rashi. He says, where did Rashi come off to say that the only kelim that are baba esh are klei suda, are kelim for tzarchei suda? There are many other kelim that are baba esh which are not for tzarchei suda. So what does Rashi mean? So he suggests, he points out that the Rashba in the Taras Habayis offers a different interpretation than Rashi. The Rashba in the Taras Habayis says, you know what the makar for klei suda amur b'parsha is? It's the same pasuk, but just a little bit of a different limud. It says, kol davar sheyaveh ba'esh, says the Rashba, eizeh davar sheba ba'esh, v'tzorech lehachshiro ba'esh, what thing, what kelim aba ba'esh, and you have to be machshed in ba'esh? That's klei suda, you know why? Because they're boleya al yidei ha'esh. Klei suda have a bliya, they get an absorption through the fire. So they get the absorption through the fire, you have to be machshed them through the fire to take off that bliya. That's what the pasuk is telling us. The pasuk is not saying, kol davar sheyaveh ba'esh, the only kalim that above ba'esh are kalim for tzarchei suda. That's not true. But kol davar sheyaveh ba'esh, what the pasuk is referring to is hechsher. Right? Tavir ba'esh v'taher. The pasuk is telling you to be machshir the kli. And in fact, we said lechatchila, it's supposed to be machshir the kli before the tevila. So that's what the pasuk is saying. Which kalim require the hechsher of ba'esh? They require the hechsher of libun. Kalim of tzarchei suda. You have a kli that's baba esh, but it didn't have a bliya ba'esh, doesn't have any absorption, it doesn't need any hechsher. It's only kli suda that have the absorption ba'esh, meaning a spit and a grate, etc. These require hechsher, so they require tefilas kalim as well. That's how the Rashba, this is the Prichadosh's Rashba, that disagrees a little bit with the Rashi, just in terms of the limud from kol davar sheyaveh ba'esh. And we'll see that the limud that the Rashba has is going to help us as we move along in our definition of klei suda. Okay, so this is the basic makar that klei suda amur b'parsha. Only klei suda are included in this halacha of tefilas kelim. What is called klei suda? Klei suda. So Rashi defines for us kelim that are used litzarchei suda for the needs of a suda. Vos mein das? What does tzarchei suda mean? So clearly, klei suda includes kelim that one uses b'shas achila mamish, the time of eating, in the presentation of the food, in the serving of the food, in the eating of the food, in the serving of the food. Like, for example, silverware and bowls and cups, things of that nature, they certainly would require tefillin, plates, etc. From the Rishonim, you get the impression that not only does klei seuda include the kelim that you use b'shas achila, but even the kelim that you use b'shas hachonas hasuda, even kelim that are used in preparation for the suda, not only kelim used in the serving of the su'uda, the serving of the food and the drink, but even kelim, like pots and pans, that are used in the preparation of the su'uda. These are also called klei su'uda. Okay. But what does that mean? How far back do we go in the preparation of the su'uda? It takes a long time to prepare a su'uda. If you're going to have bread, let's say, so you do have to bake the bread, but the bread has to be prepared, the bread has to be kneaded, the kernels of wheat have to be harvested, so it's hard to believe that the combine would have to have a tefilas kelim. So how far back do we go to say that this kli will be called klei seuda because it's used in the preparation of the meal? So this is actually a major machlokas in the poskim in different contexts. There are different issues that the poskim talk about. One issue that the poskim bring up is, should we assume that a kli is called klei seuda if even after using this kli for the item that you're preparing for the meal, the item is not going to be roi la'achil, it's not going to be edible. It's still what we call mechusa tikkun. It's still not edible even after you've used this kli in the preparation of the item. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Kuf Chav Sif Hei talks about the case of sakin shel shchita. Sakin shel shchita. There are different rishonim who debate whether a sakin shel shchita, a knife that you use to shechli animal, is that chayev in tefila or not. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Yesh Misha Omer, which is the Mordechai in Chulin, as the Bar Hagol explains. The Mordechai in Chulin says it doesn't require tefillin. The Ramah says V'yesh Cholkin. So it's machlokus to machaber amah, machlokus rishonim, whether a sakat shel shechita requires tefillah or not, and the Ramah concludes v'tov l'tov lo below bracha. So the Ramah says it's kedai, since there are those who are cholik. Some claim that sakat shel shechita requires tefillah, you should be tovel it without a bracha. Fine. But then the Ramah continues and he says habarzalim shemisnaknim bohem hamatzos einam tzrichim tefillah. He quotes from the Sefer Isser Veheter that barzalim, the metal rods that you're misaken, that you fix up the matzahs with, the Mefarshim explained that it means the rods that you make the holes with that you make the holes on the matzah, like roll over some rod that has indentations, that has things sticking out of it. They make the hole in the matzah with these barzalim. So the Isser Veheter says that these barzalim do not require tefillah. So it's a little bit strange. First, the Ramah comments on the Mechaber and says that Sakan Shel Shchita Sava Cholik, they claim that it requires Tfila, Tovla, Tovla, Bela Bracha. Then he quotes from the Yisav Ahetah that the Barzalim that you Masakan Behemes HaMatzahs don't require Tfila at all. So why didn't he say you should be Matbil then below Bracha? L'chora, these two cases are really the same, they're similar. Sakan Shel Shchita, the item is not Roy L'Achila after the Sakan Shel Shchita is finished working, after you finish Shechting. And the Barzalim also, you still have to bake the Matzahs in order to make them Roy L'Achila. So the Chor, they're exactly the same. So why should the Ramah say Tovla Tovla Bela Bracha in the case of Sakan Shel Shechita, not in the case of the Barzalim? So the Taz answers there in Sivkot and Zion. He says, Hainu Hach, Minachanami. The Ramah would hold that even by the Barzalim, you should be Matbil then Bela Bracha. It's exactly the same case. So why did the Ramah say Tovla Tovla Bela Bracha by the Barzalim? He says it's just a technical reason. He says the Issa Veheta, which is the mocker for the halacha of Barzalim that the Ramah is quoting, he didn't say V'tovla tovla below bracha. That wasn't his lashon. So the Ramah only quoted that lashon like Abisak and Shalshita because the Tashbeitz, where he's quoting it from, used that lashon. It's just a technical answer. But basically, Mitzad Hadin, the halacha is exactly the same for both of them. Meaning, the Ramah is paskening, Ashkenazim would pasken, that any kli that's used in the preparation of the meal, preparation of the food, even if the item is not roi l'achila after using this kli, I guess as long as it's close enough that it's ot, it's going to be roi l'achila in just another moment, right? In just another moment, sakan shel shechita, what do you have to do? You have to salt the meat and then prepare it. It's in the preparation of the food. So it's right there. So that would require tevila without a bracha. That's how the Taz understands the position of the Rambam. The Shach disagrees. The Shach claims that the Ramah said v'tovla tovla below bracha dafka l'gabi sakan shel shechita, not l'gabi barzalim, because they're different. Why are they different? Says the Shach, barzalim are things that can only be used to prepare the matzahs for this, to put the holes in the matzahs. So because it can only be used for this purpose, and the item is not going to be roi l'achila after you finish, taka, there's no chiyuv tefila whatsoever. According to the Ramah, barzalim have no chiyuv tefila whatsoever. But sakan shel shechita is different, because even though you're using it for something that's not going to make the item roi l'achila when you're finished with it, but the sakan shel shechita can be used to prepare a food to make it roi l'achila, or it can be used as mamish tzor chesuda. You can use the sakan shel shechita to cut your meat during the seuda. I mean, maybe the sakan shel shechita is too big to bring to the table. It might scare some people. But you could certainly use it in the kitchen to prepare the roast, right? To prepare the meat for the meal. And the meat is roi l'achila when you're preparing it. It's not that the sakan has to make it roi l'achila. It could be roi l'achila even beforehand. But the point is, it's dealing with the food that's roi l'achila at some point in time. So because it's roi l'ishtamesh with something that'll be roi l'achila, because you could use the sakan shel shechita on a food item that will be roi l'achila when you finish using this utensil, that's why the Ramah says that you should be matbil below bracha. Says the Shach, the only time that the Ramah says that you should be matbil such an item, you're using an item on some kind of a food substance which is not going to be roi l'achila after you finish using this item, you still should be matbil that kind of a kli below bracha. That's only because it could be used in a procedure in which the food item is going to be roi l'achila when you get finished using it. But Taka the Shach would hold that if it would not be roi l'achila at all, if it's impossible to use the item in a procedure that will be roi l'achila, of course you don't have to be tovel it. And that's what barzalim are. So that's exactly why the Ramah distinguished between barzalim as opposed to sakan shel shechita. Yes?
According to the Shach, so why shouldn't he go as far to say that the Ramah should say, you're chayev to tovel the sakan shel shechita with the bracha?
Right, no. So The Ramah still only has a suffix about this. We mentioned at the out, we mentioned a number of shiurim ago that whenever you have a suffix in tefillas kelim, we're going to be machmer. So at least in clay mateches, at least in metal kelim, because it could be that tefillas kelim daraisa when it comes to metal kelim. So apparently the Ramah holds that because the tashbeitz is machmer, so we should be ma'apel the kli, but we're not sure if it requires
to. So we're ma'apel by the bracha because.
Right. So when are we ma'achmer? What kind of a kli are we going to be ma'achmer to even be tovel it, albeit without a bracha, but even to be tovel it? Says the shach, only a kli that you could use in a way in which the food item will be roy lachila after you finish using it. So according to this shach, what should emerge is that the Shach really is not going to disagree with the Taz in so many cases, in very few cases. In very few cases will the Shach actually disagree, because the Shach will say that if it's Roy Lachila, again, the Taz says in all circumstances, whether Sakan Shashchita, Barzalim, any time that you're using a Kli on a food item that's not going to be Roy Lachila after you finish, it's still Zechiyot Tvila. Zechiyot Tvila without Bracha, according to the Ramah. So the Shach limits it. He says, no, only if you're using something which could be used to make it roi lachila mamish. Okay? So take, for example, chicken scissors. That's an example that often comes up in this discussion. Chicken scissors are often used in the Jewish home, the Jewish kitchen, to cut the chicken before it's cooked. The chicken often comes in quarters, and they want to cut it into eighths. Cut the chicken up to cut a pulka off another piece, or to cut a piece in half or something. So people will often use chicken scissors for that purpose. Now think about it, you're using the chicken scissors, they're made out of metal, it's a little bit of plastic, but the ikar of the knife is clearly the metal. So you're using the chicken scissors to cut the chicken. It's not going to be roi lachila afterwards. Technically speaking, you could use the chicken even after the chicken is roi lachila. Sometimes when you go shopping for like a barbecue chicken in a takeout place, so they will cut the chicken for you with the scissors. It's not like it can't be cut even after it's cooked. Sometimes they'll put the chicken whole on the spit and they'll roast it and then they'll cut it afterwards. So it could be used for something that will be roi lachila. So again, according to the shach, there should be a chiyuv tefila. You would have imagined without the shach, you'd say that it's not roi lachila. Why should I be tovel it? Well, according to the Taz, of course you'll be chayav to be tovel it because the Ramah holds you tovel without a bracha. But even according to the Shach, the chicken scissors are going to be chayav in tevila, at least tevila without a bracha, because you could use it for chicken that's taka roi lachila. Similarly, blades of a food processor or a peeler. Let's say you're only going to use your food processor to process potatoes. You can use your peeler to peel potatoes. Potatoes are not roi lachila, at least for us. They're not roi lachila after you peel them. You got to cook them first. But you could use the peeler for things which will be roi lachila afterwards. You could use your food processor for carrots and cucumbers, for vegetables that will be roi lachila afterwards. Again, so bein lefi the tas, bein lefi the shach, these will be chayv and tefila without a bracha. Even according to the shach, they'll be chayv and tefila without a bracha because they are roi to be used for something that will be roi lachila after you finish using it. So what's the nafkamina between the tas and the shach? Rabbi Kiva Eger says the nafkamina is a coffee grinder. I didn't know they had this in his time, but they had. I was just asked this shaila a number of months ago. Someone asked if his coffee grinder requires tevila. It's Reb Kiva Eger in Shulchan Aruch. Reb Kiva Eger there on the Ramah in Siv Zayin, he says the nafkamina between the Taz and the Shach is rechayim shel kafeh, a coffee grinder. According to the Taz, you'll be tovel without a bracha. Without a bracha because the coffee still requires bishul, but you'll be tovel it. Because like the Ramah, the Taz understanding of the Ramah is anything that's used in the preparation of the food, even if it won't be roi lachila completely after you finish with it, there's still zechiyot tefila. But according to the Shach, Rabbi Kiva Eger suggests that you shouldn't be chayav tefila, d'lo chozi ledover acher. It's unusable for something else. You can't use a coffee grinder to grind something else. And similarly, a meat grinder, the poskim say, also, according to the Shach, would not require any tefila. So that's a big cooler. I think some of the coffee grinders are electric, maybe. So this is another cooler. If you follow the shach, you can be makel on the coffee grinder, not to require tefillah whatsoever. Okay, this is one issue that the boss can discuss in terms of klei seuda. Kalim, even for the preparation of the meal, what does preparation mean? Let's say it's mechusar tikkun, machlokas the shach and the taz, how to understand the Ramah regarding this issue. Another kli that the boss can talk about in the context of klei seuda is a kli that has really no function in terms of the preparation of the food or the serving of the food. really doesn't serve a function. When you serve the food, you have to bring the food on something. Right? When you prepare the food, you're doing something to the food itself. Let's say, can you imagine a kli that really serves no function? You're not preparing the food this way. You're not serving the food. But the kli happens to be, the food happens to be in that kli. What kind of a kli am I talking about? A storage kli. A clay otzer, as we call it. A clay otzer. The Kiva Eger in the beginning of Siman Kuf Chaf, in the first Ramah, he quotes a machlokas aposkim as to whether clay otzer required tefillah. Clay otzer. Chavio shal yayin, he talks about barrels of wine. Do they require tefillah? Machlokas aposkim. So I saw the Sefer Tefillas Kalim, in quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach. He wants to distinguish in terms of clay otzer between two types of clay otzer. He says clay otzer that you bring to the table, like a salt shaker or like a wine decanter, you're bringing it to the table, that you should taka be matpil with a bracha. That you should have to be matpil. Because maybe that is called clay suda, since you are serving, you're not actually serving, it's at the table. So maybe that should be called serving. But if you don't bring it to the table, Rav Shlomo Zalman suggests that maybe it should not require tevila. Like, for example, a flour container. Not flour, F-L-O-W-E-R. F-L-O-U-R, right? A flour container that you have in your kitchen. A candy dish. Candy dish, you're not really serving the candy. I mean, I guess if you took the candy dish and brought it to the table, you'd have a problem. So maybe you should be told with the candy dish anyway, because you might move it around. But just the candy dish that's sitting there, mainly for decorative purposes, frankly, right? It's really mainly for decorative purposes. And every so often a person takes a candy, but you're not really serving it there. It's really a kli otzer. It's just the person is taking from the kli otzer. Rav Shlomo Zalman would say that would not require tevila. Rav Moshe has a very interesting chiddush. Rav Moshe says that because the poskim suggests that a kli that doesn't have any function is not chayiv in tevila, so he thinks that maybe a toaster shouldn't be chayiv in tefillah. Fascinating idea. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Is this in the packet? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Chayla Gimel Simen Chav Dalet.
It's in packet 2.
Oh, it's in back in packet 2. Oh, I put it in the wrong packet. I'm sorry about that. Okay. Oh, I put all of the Igros Moshe's there in packet 2. Okay.
That's the end of Chav Gimel.
Right. The end of Chav Gimel?
I mean, it's in packet 2 we saw Chav Gimel, and the end of Chav Gimel is on the same page as the beginning of Chav
Dalet. Oh, I see. Aha. Okay. Thank you very much. Rav Moshe says that he thinks that you shouldn't have to be matpil a toaster. Why? What's the purpose of a toaster? Toast the bread. It's roi lechila beforehand. It's not. You're not really accomplishing anything by toasting the bread. Of course, that's not true if you're taking stale bread and making it edible by toasting it. But okay, let's leave that out. Rav Moshe says you're not really making the food edible. You're not really being masaking the food, the bread, by toasting it. So he thinks, even according to those shitas Rav Akiva Eger brought, that Chavio Shalyayin requires tevila, even though it's only clay otzer. He says the only reason why they require tevila is because the wine can't be stored without a kli. The wine won't take its own shape. So you need the kli. The kli is not really doing anything constructive to the yayin, but it's storing the wine, and the wine needs the kli to be stored. But toasters? What is a toaster doing? What's the toaster doing, Rav Moshe asks. Interesting tshuva. Right? What's it doing? Is it really being misaka in the food? Not really. He says, and don't ask me from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that says, there's a braisa that talks about all the items that you have to be machsher and be matpil, and it says kumkumin and yoros and mechame chamin. A tea kettle requires tevila. Is a tea kettle really fixing up the food? Is it really misaka in the food? It's boiling up the water? Rav Moshe says, yeah, that's a significant tea kettle. People will not drink boiled water. They will not drink water for tea unless it's really boiled. So that might be called a tikkun, but he didn't think that toasting is really called a significant tikkun. He thought that a toaster is not chayav tefillah. The Sefer Tefillas Kalim quotes others who disagree. It's machlokas in the post whether the toaster should require tefillah. But I think Rav Moshe is probably enough to be mekel on. You could be mekel, be mitzarev, the Chalkas Yaakov, together with Rabbi Shechter. Rav Moshe himself says, b'chlal mekel, I think the toaster doesn't require tefillah. I think for a toaster, you can certainly be mekel. You don't have to put it into the mikveh. The urn, maybe you could put it into the mikveh, but I think there's enough to be mitzarev enough to put together that maybe for the toaster we don't have to be machmel like those poskim who say that you should be machmel the toaster. You can be mekel and you don't have to be machmel the toaster. Yes.
A lot of toaster ovens though have the racks.
No. I'm talking about toasters, not toaster ovens.
When the bread pops out.
Not toaster ovens. Yeah, toaster ovens are totally different. That's an oven, and we'll see in just a moment that it could be oven racks. You don't have to be tovel anyway because they don't touch the food. You put the pots on top of the rack. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the toasters where you put the bread directly on the toaster. You know, you pop it down and then you're waiting. And
toaster
then
ovens also, those small ones that, you know, you open the door, you put the bread directly on the tray or the racks in the oven. You don't usually, you could put, I guess, tinfoil or something under it, but I don't know if people, I put my bread there.
That's a bigger shaila. I'll tell you why. Because just like you'll put the bread onto the tray, And even if you put aluminum foil, we'll talk about that later. It could be aluminum foil is not going to change anything because it's just a kisui, it's just a covering on the tray, but the tray is still the ikar. We'll talk about it in a moment. But that tray might require tevila because you do more than just toast on that tray. You might make pizza on that tray. And that is really a tikkun. That's not the same as the bread. So even if you want to say that toasting is not a significant tikkun, but making pizza is pretty significant tikkun for many people. Right, so I would be matbil that tray, but that's not a big deal.
Right.
I'm talking about being matbil the whole toaster. That's much more of a difficulty. So if we could be makel to assume that toasters don't require tefillah, it would certainly be make things a lot easier for us. Yes.
So it sounds from Ramush Tshuva that he seems to be thinking that only is used for bread, but I've seen these toasters be used for other things that would not be
like what.
Waffles?
They
only eat a waffle frozen.
You wouldn't eat the waffle frozen, but would you eat it if it weren't frozen? You really only eat it toasted.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good shayla. It's like it's really only eaten toasted. That's a good shayla. I'm not sure what the answer is. I've never seen a person be matala toasted. But that's a good ha'ara. If you won't eat the waffles without the toasting, so then the toaster really is making something roi l'achila. Maybe it should require it to
be. But the ikar with toasters for bread, not for waffles.
It depends who you are.
I used it for only waffles.
I don't know. I'm not sure it's a good show. I have to think about it a little bit more. Okay. Another issue that the post can talk about in terms of klei seuda. So now we've discussed mechusa tikkun. We've discussed if there's no functionality, it doesn't really accomplish anything, like in terms of klei otzar or a toaster. The poskim say that the only time that a kli will be called klei seuda is if it actually touches the food. This is a Shulchan Aruch in Siv Dalet. Shulchan Aruch in Simen Kufchav Siv Dalet quotes from the smak. Tripidish. Sheshovsim aleim kedera enam teunos tevila. Tripodish, you know what that is? I'm sure you know what that is. A tripod. A tripod that you put the kedera on doesn't require tevila. Aval pedilish teunos tevila mimeshenosnim aleim hamaychal atzma. Pedilish, you put the maychal itself on. The Shach explains in Sukkot and Tess. Pedilish, I can't figure out. Tripodish, it's pretty clear it's the tripod. Pedilish, he says, mimeshet solin olav mamash haochel. So maybe it's a grill grate. Maybe that's what pedilyish is. You put the food directly on the pedilyish. So whatever you put the food directly on requires tefillah, but what you don't put the food directly on, like the tripod, does not require tefillah. This is the smak. Why do you have to put the food directly on the kli in order for it to be called klei seuda? It's used in the preparation of the yochel. Or it's used in the serving of the yochel. Why should you have to actually put it on the kli? So the Vilna Gaon and the Bir Agros of Kotten Yud invokes the Rashba that the Pri Chodesh quoted before. In terms of figuring out what's the source from the Torah that Dafka Klei Seuda Achayev and Tefilas Kelim, we mentioned that the Rashba in the Torah Sabayis argues with Rashi. He adds a nuance to Rashi. He says what? Kol davar sheyavo ba'esh tavir ba'esh v'taher. The Torah is telling us that the only Kelim for which we say v'taher, which Achayev and Tefilas Kelim, are Kelim that are mishtam shem bohem al yidei ha'or, and they're bolim al yidei ha'or. They absorb something through the or. So says the Gra, if you think about it, it's only if the ochel is going to touch the kli that it's going to be bolea al yidei ha'or. It's not going to be nivla If it's in a kedera and the kedera is on the tripod is not going to be bolea from the ochel. So according to that Rashba, we can understand why klei suda does not include any kli that's not going to touch the ochel. Because if it's not touching the ochel, it can't be called klei suda, because klei suda is defined only as a kli that's going to be bolea from the ochel. It's not going to be bolea from the ochel if it's not touching the ochel. This is how the Vilna Gaon explains the smak. Yes?
According to Rashi's understanding, you could also just say that that type of kli wouldn't be passed through the fire. Only something that's tavir or ba'ish would be considered a kli suda. So you wouldn't pass a tributary.
Is that always true? It's not so clear that that's always true. A tripod, is a tripod used to hold a hot kli? That's what we're saying?
Is that the same thing as a tribute? What's a tripod exactly?
A tripod, I think, is something that has three legs and it has kind of a flat area to put the kli on.
Like
I guess it's similar to what we call a trivet, right?
I guess it might not have three legs, might have like, whatever, I don't know.
Whatever, yeah.
Something to hold it up.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't, when do you pass that through the fire?
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. I don't know, is the tripod actually used in the cooking process? Maybe it's like a used in the cooking process? Is he talking about a tripod that you have to have a fire underneath it and the tripod is holding the kedera? Is the tripod like an oven grate? Basically, is it like an oven rack? I'm not sure. If it's like an oven rack, so then it is Baba Esh, but it's not going to be Balea, because we assume that there's no Balea from one kedera to another. That's a very important klal. That the only time that you can have a Balea, an absorption in a kedera, is if there's some kind of a rota, some kind of a liquid. But from one kedera to another, Shtei kederas no go zu bezu, there's no Balea from one to the other. Even if you have, you know, milchig, liquid in one kli, in one kedera, and cholent in the other kedera. So, I mean, I wouldn't do that because, you know, if you pick up one of the pot covers, you might have a little bit of a problem there, but with the zay, etc. But technically speaking, if those kederas are touching each other, it's not going to do anything. So maybe over here, you're actually using the tripod as part of the cooking process, but it's not bolea from the food because it's not touching the food, and that's why it's not going to be chayv and tefilas kelim. Okay. We actually met up with this idea that the only time that the kli is going to be called klei seuda is if it touches the maichal. We met up with this previously. This is a tosfos. This was a tosfos that we saw on the Gemara that find hammered base. The tosfos that's talking about klei kunya, those coated kelim, hilchas hakasofa, remember? Tosfos says that if you have kli eitz hamechushokim sofiv barzel mibachutz, afilu lamadamar kol holech achar hamamid ein tzvichin tevila. Tosfos says that if you have a kli eitz, a wooden kli, that has some kind of metal band surrounding it, even according to the Mada Amr and Shabbos, that HaKol Holech Achar HaMamed for Kabbalah's Tumah, it doesn't require a tevila. Why not? Remember, why not? So said Tosfos there, Kevin De'emish Tam Shebehem Derech HaMatecha, since we don't use them in a way that you're touching the metal. The klei suda amur b'parsha, hainu shemishtam shebehem. Tosfos says, klei suda means shemishtam shebehem, meaning we use the part of the kli that's chayv and tefila. So if only the metal would have been chayv and tefila, and the metal is on the outside, it's the mechushakim, the bands, the metal pieces on the outside of the kli that are supporting the kli, that's not chayv and tefilas kelim, because you're not mishtam shebehem, you're not mishtamish with that matachas. You're not touching, that matachas is not touching the food. Tosus basically seems to be echoing what the smak said. So at first glance, what it would seem is though the machlokas Marami, Rutenberg, and Tosus that we had about these kli eitz hamechushakim bebarzel, do we follow Dover Hamamid in Tfilas Kelim or not? Isn't that the machlokas the smak? Right? Whether they're agreeing with the smak or not? Isn't that a machlokas about what the smak is saying? Meaning, what am I saying? The Marami, Rutenberg, quoted by the Mordechai that we had before, who said that we do follow the Mamid even for Tfilas Kelim. The Marami Rutenberg claims that you should be matbil a kli eitz that has mechushakim of barzel on the outside, even though it's not touching the maichal. That Marami Rutenberg at first glance seems to be arguing with the smak. Isn't he disagreeing with this whole principle? I started off by saying that klei seuda has to be a kli that touches the maichal. That's the smak. So now we find that it seems to be machlokas Marami Rutenberg and Tosfos. Right? The Marami Rutenberg, who claims that HaKol Holech Achar HaMamid even for Tfilas Kelim, so he would say that it doesn't have to touch the Yochel. Because Kli Eitz are not Chayiv in Tevila, only Matechas is Chayiv in Tevila, or Matechas, Ruchas, etc. But only the only part of the Kli that's Chayiv in Tevila is the Barzelet surrounding the Eitz. So that Marami Rutenberg seems to be saying that it can be called Klei Suda even if it's not touching the Meichel. So would the Marami Rutenberg argue about a tripod also? Would he claim that a tripod requires Tfilas Kalim even though it doesn't touch the Meichel? Not so fast. I'm not convinced. The Marami Rutenberg and Tosfos, I think, are only arguing about one case, and that is when one Kli is composed of two elements. If one Kli is composed of two elements, and you're using the Kli is touching Ochel. Maybe the metal, maybe the chelik of the Kli, that's what's going to be Mechayev, the Kli and Tvil is not touching the Ochel, but a part of that Kli is touching the Ochel, that's enough. The Maram claims as long as the Davar HaMamed is touching, as long as some part of the Kli is touching the Ochel, and the Davar HaMamed is Chayev and Tvila, then the whole Kli is going to be Chayev and Tvila. But a tripod is a separate Kli. It is a separate Kli. The Marami Rutenberg will probably admit, in such a case, that Avada, that's not Chayev and Tevila. Because there's no part of that Kli that is touching the Meichel. So the Machlokas, Marami Rutenberg and Tosis might not necessarily have anything to do with the Smak. Even the Maram might agree to the Smak that if you have two separate Kalim and one is not touching the food at all, even if it's used in food preparation, maybe there won't be any chiyuv. There shouldn't be any chiyuv tefila for that food item, for that food item, for that kli. Good. And this seems to be what the later poskim conclude. What am I saying? How do we pass into these two shaylas? The kli eitz hamechushak and the barzel and the tripod. So the tripod we just read. That's a shulchan aruch. Shulchan aruch says that the tripod is not chayav in tefila. Do the shach and the taz say boo on the shulchan aruch? No, nothing. Right? They explain it a little bit. They give biurim, but they don't disagree. How about kliyet samechushokim bebarzel? That's sivav. Kliyet sheyesh lachashukim shel barzel mibachut shemamidim oso ein oto in tefila. Shulchan Aruch says that the kliyet that has these metal bands on the outside that are mamid the kli does not require tefila. How does the Shulchan Aruch pass? Like whom? Like Marami Rutenberg or like Tosfos? Like whom? Tosfos. Like Tosfos, right? Tosis. He doesn't mention the Maram whatsoever. Says the Shach in Sivkot and Yud Beis, Enoton Tvila, says Tzarechi and the Beis Yosef, Pasak Hilchus, the Yesh Latov lo below Bracha, the Mesafkalon, Yazlin and Basra Mamed, Olo. The Beis Yosef is Mestapeg. Are we Choshesh for the Marami Rutenberg or not? Should we at least be Choshesh? So the Shach disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch and says you should be Tovah without a Bracha. The Shach only disagrees about the Kliyetz HaMechushok and Bebarzel, but not about the Tripidish. He didn't disagree about the tripod. Why? I think the answer is obvious. Because the Shach felt that even the Marami Rutenberg would admit by the tripod that there is no chiyuv tefila. Okay? So the whole discussion is about Dover Hamamid. But by the tripod, even the Marami Rutenberg will say, everyone will say that if the kli, no chelik of this kli, touches the Meichel, obviously it's not going to be chiyuv tefila. Okay. This idea that if the Kli doesn't touch the Meichel, it's not Chayv and Tvila, is very relevant for many different issues. I think we discussed some of them already. Oven racks. Oven racks are certainly used in the process of preparing the food, but they're not touching the food at all. They're touching the Kedera. They're touching the whatever pan you put in the oven. So they do not require Tvila. Oven racks do not require Tvila. As opposed to what kind of racks? Grill racks. Right? It's grilling season. Grill racks do require tefillah, because you put the hamburgers and the hot dogs and whatever you're grilling over there on the rack itself. So, of course, that should require tefillah, because they're touching the ochel. Refrigerator shelves. Now, often they're made out of plastic, but sometimes they can be made out of metal. They don't require tefillah either. You don't put the food directly on the refrigerator shelf. You put it in something else. Aye, but you'll tell me fruit bins. Let's say fruit bins in the bottom of the refrigerator, they require tefillah. Well, they're normally made out of plastic. But if the fruit bin were not made out of plastic, then the taco would require tefillah, because you put the fruits and vegetables directly into the fruit bins. It's just important to get the basic picture over here, that if the food is touching, the truth is fruit bins will be Rebbe Kivega's shaila, because that's really a kli otzer. It's only a storage kli, not really doing anything with it. But if you would want to be machmir, to be makbel then below bracha, there would be a room to do that. But refrigerator shelves in general, there would be no chumra, even if they're made out of glass. Made out of metal. I think many refrigerator shelves are made out of glass. But glass, we said, is chayav in tefila, but there's no reason to be matbur the shelves, because you're not You're not putting the food directly on it. If the bin were somehow made out of glass, I don't think they would make the bin out of glass, because it's a great way to break the glass, because you're constantly moving the bin in and out to get the fruits and vegetables. But if they were to make the bin out of something that might be chayvin tefila, then Yutaka will have to be matbil them, because the fruits and the vegetables touch them directly. How about if you put a liner between the kli and the food? Is that called not touching, or is that called touching? So the Sefer Tevilas Kelim in Perek Aleph Halacha He'or Zayin quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who says he thinks liners are insignificant. They're completely batel. Aluminum foil, toweling paper, plastic. They're completely batel to the kli. You're doing it for a little cleanliness, but they're batel to the kli. Masha'en Kein, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, those kinds of sakiot, those kinds of like plastic bags that you have, you know, in the tnuva milk container, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, the milk containers, they put the plastic tnuva bags into the milk container. So you only use that milk container with that bag. So that bag is very significant. So that milk container would not be chayv and tefillah. Now, of course, it is plastic. But even if they were to make a milk container out of metal or glass, it still would not require tefillah. Because that kind of sakit is a very significant sakit. That's not just put on, you know, to keep things clean or whatever. That is how it is served. That's how it is stored. So there's no question that that would be a significant sakit, a significant container. But stam liner, which Shlomo Zalman would say, that's not significant. It's bottled to the kli, and therefore you would have to be mottled to kli. Nafkamina lamaisa, liners, microwaves. Does the glass at the bottom of the microwave require tefillah? So it depends. It depends on how you cook in the microwave. If you cook always with a kli, meaning you'll put your glass, if you want to boil up water, you'll put it in the glass. I mean, obviously, if you put water in, it has to be with a kli. But let's say you put a piece of kugel into the microwave. Are you medactic to put it on a paper plate or a plastic plate or something? Or will you sometimes just put out a napkin, you put the kugel directly on the glass, directly on the napkin? If you're one of those people who will put the kugel directly on the napkin, so then that glass piece will be chayv and tefillah. Rav Shlomo Zalman claims that the niyar, that the liner that you put between the food and the kli is insignificant. So then we look at the kli. The kli really is viewed as though it's touching the food, and it will be chayv and tefillah. If you're the kind of person who never will put food into the microwave without some kind of hefsek kli, so then mistama that glass will not require tefillah. It's probably better just to be tovel the glass, just in case someone else is gonna use it without a separation, without the proper separation. Even if you yourself feel that you will always have a hefsek kli, it's probably better to be tovel that glass anyway. But technically speaking, you're the only person using that particular microwave. It's your private microwave, and you live alone, so you don't have to be choshesh for that. Certainly, if you want to use it without tevila, so just be makbid, be medaktik, not to put something only on a piece of toweling paper or a napkin, put it on a kli, and then you won't have any problem. You won't have to be matbil that glass piece. Okay, yes.
So that means for Pesach, people are actually required to oval their glass things in their refrigerators?
What do you mean?
Saying a lot of times people...
We said refrigerator shelves do not require tefillah because you have the food in containers on the refrigerator shelf. You're not really going to put... You know, that's an interesting shaila. Let's say you put some of your fruits and vegetables on the refrigerator shelves. So you put real food on the refrigerator shelf. Should it require tefillah if it's made out of glass? I don't know. It's a good question. Unless you'll be makel for those shittas that assume that clay otzer, this is a complicated issue. First of all, it's only clay otzer. But secondly, we're going to talk about a mitzvah shem next time. We'll talk about the issue as to whether we follow rov tashmish of a kli. Do we follow majority usage or even minority usage of a kli? So it could be, maybe we look at the refrigerator shelf as majority. Most things are put in a kli in the refrigerator. You either have it in a carton, the carton that you bought it in, or you put it in another kli. So maybe you could be mitzarif those two things together and it wouldn't require tevilah. How about a can opener or a corkscrew? For the same reason, these would not require tefillah whatsoever. The Sefer Tefillas Kelim quotes Poskim will say that they don't require tefillah. Why? They don't touch the ochel. They don't touch the ochel. Ah, you'll tell me the can opener. No, a little bit of liquid touches the ochel. No, but come on. It's not meant to touch the liquid. It's meant to open the kli. The corkscrew certainly doesn't touch the wine, hopefully, unless you turn it upside down. You just take out the cork and that's it. So a corkscrew and a can opener do not require tefillah. I recently bought a corkscrew, and as I was going out, I had some kelim which did require tefillah. So the person in the store in Muncie, there's a mikveh in the store in Muncie. So you know, we were talking before there was a ramah. If you live in a community without a mikveh, well, if you live in a community where even the stores have mikvahs, you really have no problem here. So anyone who buys kelim in this particular store, so the proprietor of the store will tell you, oh, that doesn't require tefillah, that doesn't require tefillah. He knows all of the halachas because he deals with it every day. So he just happened to comment to me, he said, oh, the can opener, it doesn't require tefillah. So the reason why it doesn't require tefillah is because it doesn't touch the food. But take, for instance, a pot cover. This is the final issue we'll talk about. A pot cover, does that touch the food? A pot cover does require tefillah. The Ramah, at the end of Siv Hei, the Hagos Ashri says, "Avokisa kedera tzarech tefila." A pot cover does require tefila. We keep on saying something that doesn't touch the ochel doesn't require tefila. A can opener and a corkscrew and a refrigerator shelf and an oven rack. So why should a kisa kedera require tefila? So the Bir Agro explains that's because it really does touch the food. How does it touch the food? It touches the steam. Steam goes up. So because the steam goes up, it bubbles up to the kisui kedera, so pot covers do require tefillah. So when you go be matbil your pot, you just take the pot cover along. It's not the worst thing in the world. You buy the pot whole, so just be careful to be tovil both parts of the pot. Yes?
If you didn't, like with this logic, if you didn't end up toviling the pot cover, let's say the first time when you tovil the pot, now all you have is the pot cover, would you say a bracha even on the pot cover?
I think so, because the Ramah doesn't say you tovil it without a bracha. He says, "Meikar adin, it requires tefillah because it actually touches the food." So, I mean, you might say, for just one second, the steam is boiling out, not the steam that touches the keder. Meaning, it'll boil up, it'll boil down, right? Even the food that you're eating will touch the kisa kedera through the steam, and then it comes back down, condensation, evaporation. You can fill in all of the scientific details, but right. So, even things that actually touch the pot cover will then go back into the pot, and you will be eating that steam. So therefore the pot cover requires tefillah.